This morning, I want to talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We want to give Him room. I refuse, as your pastor, to shove the moving of the Spirit off into some little corner room. That is not what we're going to do. That is not who we are. By the grace of God, He's redeemed us. He gets His rightful place, which is in charge. Amen? We want to hear Him. We want to see Him. We want to know Him. We want Him to move. We don't have to strive to pump anything up. We just need to say, yes, Lord. Yes. The heart of what we're doing, as Pastor Sherry shared this morning, is to say, Lord, I want more. I want to be like You more. I want to grow more. I want to understand Your Word more. I want to give You more liberty in me so I can be transformed to be just like Jesus. Come on, church, isn't that the cry of your heart? And if you're a guest with us this morning, as we do this Launching Your Faith, it's more than just a foundation laying program. It's giving us opportunity step by step to take a look and say, okay, if I want to walk right with the Lord, I want to make sure every foundation stone is in place, because Hebrews 6, 1 through 3, I don't have it down there, but you can write a note. Hebrews 6, 1 through 3 goes over this list of items that need to be in our foundation. And God says, once we lay these down, we can go on if, verse 3, God permit. So we want God to give us the building permit, right? We want to go on. We want Him to have room. Now, I'm going to make a couple of statements, and I'm not going to be shy about preaching what the Bible says. Now I know there are different interpretations on different things. I understand that. Let me repeat again the direction of our attitude and interpretation of the Scripture. As for me and my house, we want to get as close to Him as we possibly can. The attitude that we take to the Scripture is, how can I best understand the Word of God so I can best apply the Word of God, so I can best be transformed into the Word of God and to be what He wants me to be, so I can get as close to Jesus as I possibly can? What does the Bible say? Now, I'm not here to teach what does your tradition say or my tradition say. It's not that. It's not what does the denomination say. That's not the issue. The issue is, what does the Bible teach? Now, I'm going to hit one more point and then we'll go to your notes. Now, your notes are there so you go home, as Pastor Sherry shared, and you've got basically that summation of that morning's message to be able to refer back to look the Scriptures up and see the Scriptures in context. We love you being in the Word of God. How many love the Word of God? Amen. Some people have said to me over the years, I've been ministering to people, and boy, how do you say this sweetly? I don't mean this in any weird way. Many of you have a lot more experience than I have, but I've been helping to pray for people to be released into the baptism of the Holy Spirit for 45 years. We've been ministering for 45 years. I have seen thousands of people baptized in the Holy Spirit with the resulting sign and the gifts of speaking in tongues. I've seen miracles take place. And all it takes are people to say, yes, Lord, do what You want to do. We want to flow with You. Now, some people hold themselves off because what they say is, I've seen excess. I've seen excess. But because car wrecks occur, have you stopped driving? Because planes go down, have you stopped flying? Some of you might have. Gail might not for a few more years. But the issue is, excess doesn't control. I would urge you, As a charismatic Pentecostal pastor who's concerned about releasing people into the gifts of the Spirit, my wholehearted urging to you would be far less concern over excess and far more concern over access. Access in the presence of God. How can I get as close to Jesus as I possibly can? Access, not excess. Now, if you start swinging from the chandeliers in here, you're making it up, because there ain't none. If there's excess, we love you enough, and we're all family, we'll speak to it. We'll say something to it. But let's be more concerned about access, flowing, growing, moving, changing, being more transformed. I want to be, I'm going to say it for the 15th time already, as close to Him as I possibly can. Can I get a hearty amen to that? Amen. Jesus walked with His disciples for 3.5 years. He gave all. He saw miracles. He saw feeding of thousands, raising of the dead, opening blind eyes and deaf ears. He healed the lame and saw them leap with faith. He encouraged His disciples to see bigger. There's your fill-in. Remember, there's only a few of those. I'll fall off my chair or I'll fall over from the podium to let you know when the fill-ins come. He encouraged His disciples to see bigger. Think. Sorry, my voice is changing. Think bigger. Respond bigger. See bigger. Think bigger. Respond bigger. He sent them out 2 by 2. Remember? To minister, and they saw miracles. Look at the scripture says in Luke 9, 1 through 3. Then He called His 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. How many know the Holy Spirit was moving pretty good? To sent them to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick. He said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither stage nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have 2 coats apiece. He gave them, the Bible says, power and authority. In the Greek, those words are dunamis, dunamis, and exousia. Dunamis and exousia. From the word dunamis, we in English derive our word dynamite. Dynamic, dynamite, dynamite, dynamite. That goes back 40 years. Anyway, so there's a releasing in our lives of dunamis and power to walk with God when we have received the Holy Spirit in our lives and we give Him room. How many want to give God room? The authority, the exousia. He gives us authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and to kick the devil out in Jesus' name. You don't have to run around as a Christian saying, the devil's after me, the devil's after me. Instead, turn around and say, get out in Jesus' name. The Bible says, resist the devil. He must flee from you. Not an option. He knows it. We need to know it and exercise it. Amen? There's more. Jesus gave them these things. And He said, listen, you've got a big job to do, church. There's more that needs to be done. It's a big job. And there's more to provide what you need to help you do the big job. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. In your notes, the promise of the Father is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says in John 20, 21 through 23. So Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when He had said this, I love this part, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. It goes on, if you receive the sins of the, or forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. There's a power that was released in their ministry. Jesus had to return to the Father to send the more. That's what He says in the scripture. Luke 24, 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you, say it with me please, are endued with power from on high. Literally, that means in the Greek to be clothed upon with the power of God. To be clothed upon. Jesus gives them a mission vision. And he says, it's a big job. And there's your notes. There's your big job. You need the promise of the Father. You need the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through or 4 through 8. Acts 4, I'm going to do 4 through 8. Up here now at this time is 4 and 5. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized. Now remember, the Greek word for baptism is the word baptizo. Can you say that with me? Baptizo. And it means to make fully whelmed, to get wet with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now. Something's coming. Something more. Something to fully whelm and baptize you in the Holy Spirit. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Power, again, the word dunamis. Dynamic, explosive, miraculous dynamite power. Authority, exousia, and you shall be witnesses. Now, you got to understand, that word is martus. It's pronounced martus, and it literally means martyr. So when Jesus captured their hearts, he didn't just capture a comfortable, please don't hear me wrong, a comfortable American who said, I'm comfortable with my life and I'm just going to add in a little Jesus to the corner of my life and feel good about my religious activity. How many understand that when they gave their life to Jesus, it was whole hog, farmers, right? It was the whole deal. It was jumping into the river. It was going whole hog for Jesus because he redeemed me. He saved me. I deserve death. I deserve punishment. He took it. I'm so grateful that I don't have to. I thank you, Lord. I give you my life. Is that how you gave your life to Jesus? I give my life to you, Lord Jesus. Now, sometimes full of lightning bolts, other times not. But it still is the whole heart for all your life surrendered to him. All right. There's a new day, the fulfillment of promise. If you've got your Bibles and want to turn to them, I will have your scripture up here as well, but Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. Acts 2, 1 through 4. Robert Morris was preaching, a television pastor, Pastor's Gateway Fellowship, 30, 50, 60,000 in Texas, and he was talking about how people are scared to death of the word Pentecost and Pentecostal. Pentecostal scares me to death. Do you know what the word means? 50. Now, isn't 50 a scary word? It means 50. The day of Pentecost goes all the way back to the Old Testament when Moses was in the Mount, etc. But it determines 50 days from a certain time frame to then the resurrection of Jesus. And it was speaking about their feasts and the times that were to come. And Pentecost was one of their most important feast days. And it was counting off the days. But they became known as Pentecostals who embraced what we're going to see here in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, say it with me, and suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Wow. Please read it with me, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, again, the Jews, the context, the Jews were in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, one of the three most important celebrations that they had annually. And this happened. Jesus had told them, go wait. Go wait until you be endued with power from on high. The Holy Spirit fell upon them. They were baptized in the Holy Ghost. How did they know? They heard them speak in tongues and prophesy. And the miracle of God and the gifts of God were flowing. And other people were looking on at them, listen, and said, whew, these guys are drunk. These guys are crazy and they're drunk. Let's see what the Bible says about that. Peter stands up and goes, we're not drunk. These are not drunk as you suppose. Watch this. Since it's only the third hour of the day, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Dennis Bennett wrote one of the most famous books in the charismatic movement called 9 o'clock in the morning. And it deals with this and the day of Pentecost. But watch this. This is powerful. Watch. But this is what, and the King James says, Peter says, this is that. Watch this. That was spoken by the prophet Joel. The prophetic word the prophet had spoken hundreds of years earlier than this date. They were looking for the moving of the Holy Spirit in their midst. They were looking for God to move in miraculous power among His people. And Peter stands up after having received this experience along with the other 120 and he goes, this is that! This is that! Say it with me. This is that! This is that. That was spoken by the prophet Joel. Watch verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And you can tell how you are doing on that list. Old or young, dreams or visions. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they shall what? Prophesy. God's prophet said, there's more. There is more. And Peter says, here it is. This is that. What is this baptism of or in the Holy Spirit? And you go to your notes and you have some sentences in front of you. The immersion of the believer into the Holy Spirit Himself. By the way, He is a He, not an it. It's a person. He's real. Someone with whom we have fellowship. This is all about not an activity or a loose gift running around somewhere. This is a relationship, getting closer with God, the more that's available. And He prophesied for generations, I've got more to give. I've got more to give and to provide to you. Go wait now, disciples. You've got a big job to do. I want to clothe you with power, but you got to wait. And then this is it. He teaches. He leads, He guides, He convicts, He digs out our ears to hear Him more. How many want to hear Jesus better and the Holy Spirit better? You bet. Steve, your sharing was right about this. The Holy Spirit works with us and He digs out our ears. You're standing there at the library and the Holy Spirit goes, hey! But thank God you're listening. See, thank God, church, that's what we need to do. As a church, we need to say, okay, Lord, I want to listen better, carefully, more clear. Speak to me. Dig out my ears so that I can hear you. Because I want to respond to you. He prompts us to hear. There's your fill-in. He prompts us to hear and to respond to God. You find your fill-in there? To hear and to respond to God. There were at least three major outpourings in the 20th century alone. We've talked about them before. I'm just going to hit a little highlighting for you. 1902 to about 1906, there was a powerful move of God. It's become known as the Azusa Street Revival. How many have heard of the Azusa Street Revival? Man, oh man, a black preacher named William Seymour, Charles Parham was with him, Frank Bartleman, there were others. There was some division that came later, but the move of God was so powerful. The presence of God fell on this man. He would preach with his head in a box, sincerely, because he wanted people to see Jesus. And he wanted the miracles to take place. And God began to move. And people would come in and that day, from all around, receive the baptism in the Spirit, receive the gifts of God. They would carry them around the planet. The Pentecostal churches were pretty well birthed in this move in the 20th century. Now we come up to 1948. A little Bible school in North Battleford, Saskatchewan, Canada, called Rose of Sharon Bible School and Orphanage. And some students are looking at the book of Acts and they're going, wait a minute, if God did this then, why isn't this happening now? And they began to cry out to God, move, God, do this. We want to see you move supernaturally. And the Holy Spirit began to be poured out and poured out and poured out. And the healing revivals that broke out, people came from all around the world, ministered to by the Spirit of God. Healing revivals broke out. William Branham, a man who went off in some possible error later in his life, the most accurate worker of the ministry, of the Word of Knowledge ministry that's probably ever lived. He could sit in a crowd of thousands, literally. It was not fake. Now, there have been some others. Remember, there have been some excesses. We don't build our doctrine on excesses. I'd rather be concerned about access, not excess. If excess happens, by the grace of God, we will help, guide, and go further and get beyond it, all right? The Bible will keep us and we will watch over one another. But let's be concerned about access. Most accurate word of knowledge, he'd be in a crowd of thousands. He'd look at somebody. He would point out to them. He'd tell them literally the street address of the house they lived in, what color the house was, what color their car was. And it was all used by God to speak a word of healing. And people were miraculously delivered and healed. Oral Roberts, healing evangelist, sprung up after this move. Billy Graham Crusades, the greatest evangelist, you know, I weep when I think of Billy Graham. Probably the greatest evangelist, at least one of them, that has ever lived, and we've been blessed to see him in our days. You know, I just thank God for the man. So the latter rain outpouring was a remarkable, not insignificant move. The things that were rebirthed in the body of Christ, there's a restoration process, but praise and worship and laying on of hands and raising hands and worship, people understood again, oh, the Bible says this, we need to be doing it, and the Holy Spirit moved miraculously. Come up to 1960 for many of the churches, and 1967 for the Catholic churches, and the charismatic church was moved. I am here to tell you, it is not a footnote as a little minor sentence in the data of church history. One of the most major moves of God that has ever hit this planet was in the charismatic move. When it didn't matter about your denomination or your background, walls fell down, people fell in love with Jesus, got saved, got filled with the Spirit, and man, people were running around praising God, and everybody got these great big Bibles and these 20-pound Strong's concordances, remember? And you carry these around, and you break the binding off of them because you were using it so much. What's the Bible teach? And, you know, it was just an incredible heyday. I was radically saved when I was 16 in a revival in the north end of Seattle. And my life's been different ever since. Thank God. Thank God. Nobody can convince me that there's not veracity and reality to the Word of God. You can argue a man out of a discussion. You can never take his experience from him when it is based and birthed on the Word of God. If it's not in the Bible, it ain't worth the powder to blow it up, my wife would say. Okay? But if it's in the Bible, I'm just stupid enough to want it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Listen, the move of God is still moving. I was going to put an end date on your notes here for, you know, the 1970s. The major move had peaked. Oh, my gosh, I could tell you story after story of things that have happened. And you know your own stories and have them. But the Toronto Airport Church, with the Vineyard churches and the blessing that came in Toronto. Now point to excess. People say there was excess. Okay. But there were hundreds of thousands, millions of people moved. And from out there came the Brownsville revival and other revivals that spread around the earth. In fact, I just read this morning, even though there was a breakup of fellowship that occurred and churches divided, 2 years ago, they did a conference honoring the history of what had occurred 20 years ago, and they stood up in the pulpit, the people that had the problems, and they repented and asked one another's forgiveness, and there was an amazing, miraculous restoration. Now, that's when you know God's on the throne. Still moving. Still moving. Then Peter said, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. I'm not here to force anybody. We're not here to pump up anything. We're just here to let Him move. And hungry people respond and say, okay, I take some courage. I don't understand it. I'm going to step out in faith. Okay, I tried that once in 1942, never tried again. Well, when you learned how to walk, did you take another step after you fell after the first one? Sure. God does miraculous things. For the promise is, now watch, who's involved here? To you, your children, all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Does that include anybody in this room? That's why we're here. Now look, we're a Spirit-filled, charismatic, Pentecostal church, whatever you want to use the terminology. We believe in the charismata, the Greek word, the gifts of the Spirit alive today. I'm not going to go forever in it, but there are those who are cessationist. It all ceased. When the canon of Scripture came into place, this is typically the bottom line, the gifts of the Spirit all stopped. But let me ask you, we love, it's all based on the Word of God, okay? We love the Word of God. But is the body of Christ perfect? All right. Who is the perfect? Jesus. When Jesus comes, we will need the gifts of the Spirit. He'll be here. In the meantime, we need to hear from Him. We're not cessationists. As a church, we are continuationists. Say the word continue. You've got to say it southern. Continue. We're continuationists. We believe the Holy Spirit is alive and well and still moving and doing miraculous things. What are the results? The results are an alive faith. An alive faith. Look at the Scripture, Acts chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. The results are new boldness. That's where you are in your notes there. New boldness. Watch. Then Peter said, remember, he was going into the temple after they'd received this experience. There was a beggar sitting there. He goes, hey, I need what you got. And Peter said, what I got's a little different than you're thinking. He says, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. New boldness. He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. Peter gave this man Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Peter gave him Jesus, the Holy Spirit. The timid became confident because he knew Jesus and the Holy Spirit are inside. There's your fill-in. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are inside of you. How many know we're supposed to live like a conduit, not a wall? Let the flow, let the river flow through. I'm not a wall or a door to stop him up. We're a conduit. But Jesus and the Holy Spirit are inside of you, and that's your fill-in. All right, so this is a further separate experience from water baptism. You'll see it throughout the Scripture. You build doctrine on what does the Bible teach and the preponderance of Scripture, the overwhelming amount of Scripture. What does it show? We find its theme like a river running through the Bible. We see in Samaria, Acts chapter 8, you see the persecution came on the church, but Philip goes and preaches in Samaria. There's an incredible revival that takes place. People get saved. The Bible talks about they are delivered, and demons come out crying out loud and shrieking, and the name of Jesus is bringing people to life and healing, and power is released. And the Bible says in verse 8, there was great joy in that city. Somebody say, great joy.
Great joy.
But something was missing. How do you know that? Watch the Bible. Acts 8:14-17. They sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, wait a minute. The Holy Spirit's already there. And there's no question. The Holy Spirit was already there, or none of this activity would have taken place. But the apostles knew there's something else that was needed in their foundation. Something else. They've given their life to the Lord. They've been delivered. There's repentance. Remember the tripod of faith? Repent, be baptized, receive you the Holy Ghost. So, what do they say? Prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, you see the scripture? For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. They'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Only? Powerful thing in heaven. Great joy. Deliverance had taken place. A miraculous move of God. But there was something more. The apostles came and prayed for them and laid hands on them. And they received the Holy Spirit. That's Samaria. Your next section is on Cornelius' house. Acts 10:45-45. Cornelius' house. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. Remember, now these were the Gentiles. A good Jew wasn't supposed to go to the Gentile. Peter forged a new way, and he got in hot water, remember? He went back to give a report, and the other apostles look at him and goes, "We hear that you went down to the Gentiles." And he goes, "Yeah, let me tell the story." The Holy Spirit prepared him. Remember, the sheet comes down. God says, "Don't call unclean what I've called clean." He says, "Some people are going to come get you. Go preach to them the word of God. They're waiting in a place and they're hungry to hear about me." And he goes and he preaches. And right in the middle of his sermon, the Holy Spirit fell, it says, on those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out to the Gentiles. I want to ask you, how did they No. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. How'd they know? Something miraculous took place. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized?" Separate experience. "Who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Samaria, Cornelius' house. The Ephesian believers, this is your section in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. Paul comes upon certain disciples, the Bible calls them. They were certain disciples. And he's an inspection layer, a foundation layer. And he says, "What were you baptized into?" And they said, "Well, John's baptism." And Paul went on to teach them. John baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Beautiful. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. How did they know? I want to ask again. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. So, those of you who say, "Okay, I've been baptized, great, no problem. I had a meaningful baptism." We're not calling anybody's baptism unmeaningful. That's not what we do here. We don't push anybody into rebaptism. What we talk about is, if the Lord has shown you something that you've never understood before, never experienced before, it's different than what you have understood before, there is a fresh experience awaiting you for the more that God can do. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Someone say amen or oh no. That's what the Bible shows. All right. Speaking in tongues is the most common resulting sign. That goes back to your notes right there in front of you. It's the most common resulting sign. You did not hear me say it's the only sign. I am not saying that. The Bible doesn't say that. But church, something supernatural happens when you have this encounter with God. People are healed, things happen, but it's something as an interchange with God. Now, the Holy Spirit broods over us to even become a believer. The Holy Spirit is involved. You give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is there. But there is the breath of God, And then there is a rushing mighty wind. He said, look, you've received the breath. Now I want you to wait in Jerusalem till you be clothed on with power from on high. There's more for you. Are you tracking? There's more. All right. So this is available, church, your fill-in for all believers. It's available for all believers. What does the Bible say? For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, in the Old Testament, let's try to wrap up some of this. You've got a lot of notes in front of you. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people for specific events. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon everyone. And it remains. The Old Testament, specific event, lifting. In the New Testament, the Spirit is poured out on all. It is God's will. So I'll get baptized if it's God's will. It's God's will for you to get as close to Him as you can. It's God's will for you to hear Him and know Him and let the Spirit teach you and all of those things. It's God's will to be stronger, built up, edified, and strong in Him, sensitive to Him. He makes Himself available to all who hunger for Him. Everyone can receive a personal prayer language and gift from the Lord. Your Father wants to bless you. That's what the Bible says. And some people stop and say, well, wait a minute. It's better to prophesy. It's better to prophesy. Right? Now, often people who bring that issue up don't do either. You hear what I'm saying? Better to prophesy, so I'm not going to speak in tongues. Okay, do you prophesy? Well, no, don't do that either. Okay. But it's lots of times an issue of understanding. And I want to talk about this for a moment. The personal devotional prayer language versus a congregational office gift. Now, we must understand God is either confused or He knows exactly what He's talking about. How many think Paul, let me see a show of hands. How many think Paul was terribly confused, did not know what he was talking about? How many think Paul might have known a little more what he's talking about than we do? All right. Now, this breaks down if you go to 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Let me give you context. Chapter 13, you all know what 13 is, right? The love chapter. There's all about the gifts of the Spirit, but right in the middle of it, I'm going to say this right now. It's all about love. The expression of God's heart, His love, His heart. Gifts of the Spirit are not meant to put pride into people or pump people up or say, I'm great, you're not, I got it, you don't. That's not what any of that's about. If it's not about love, Pastor Sherry would say, it ain't worth the powder to blow it up. All right, it's all about the love of God. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12 deals with a corporate setting. In the church, there are office gifts that function to strengthen the church. And in that list, you find where Paul would say, are all apostles? What's the answer? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. He's talking about an office gift. He's talking about a function in the church where there were anointed prophets speaking the word of the Lord that would come with tongues and interpretation. When we are worshiping the Lord, we had it again this morning. When we are worshiping the Lord and things get down quiet, it's not just our personal language and worship to God. Now we're talking about hearing from God to man. And when things quiet down, and a message in tongues comes out loudly, so it's hanging out there. The Bible says it is error if that is not accompanied with interpretation. Pray that there's interpretation. And if somebody in the room, if you felt led to give a message in tongues, and somebody in the room didn't do the interpretation, you pray that God will give you the interpretation. Because that's where Jesus says, when everybody's gathered together, it's not 10,000 words in tongues that will edify the entire setting. In this way, it's we got to say something that everybody can learn and grow from. You tracking with me? So that's got to be interpreted. Now watch. Over to 1 Corinthians 14, we're not talking about the prophetic of God speaking to man. Now we're talking about man speaking to God. with a private devotional prayer language that we get together. Now listen, Paul was either arrogant or confused, or he knew he was speaking about different kinds of tongues. Because the apostle says, I would that you all spoke with tongues. Now, let me ask you, if you think he was standing back going, wish you could all speak in tongues. Then he goes on to say, I speak in tongues more than you all. You think his attitude was, wish you could do it, you low lifes. I do it a lot more than you all. You think that was the heart of God?
No.
No, he's talking about a different expression of the gifting of God. One is God to man. Another one is man to God. Individually, it's right to be edified. It's right to be built up. As we gather and worship together, we raise our hands and everybody together, and you'll see people or hear people speaking in tongues or singing in tongues. That's a love act of worship to God. But if it quiets down, you're out of order if you're going to start shouting out in tongues and that's not interpreted. You hear what we're saying? That's what the Bible shows. 1 Corinthians 14:39, you got people say, well, wait a minute, there's excess. But the Bible says, desire earnestly to prophesy, but don't forbid to speak in tongues. In the congregation, it's right to have prophecy, but not everybody. Now I'm going to continue on. I don't want to jump around. We'll go here. Private prayer language, corporate gift to the church. Watch the Greek interlinear. This is fantastic. Interlinear, Greek, English, New Testament, Nestle Marshall, 1 Corinthians 14:5. Now watch. When you come to that verse that says, I want you all to prophesy, or speak in tongues, but rather that you prophesy. What does that mean? In the Greek, that literally means, I want you all to speak in tongues, but rather in order that you may prophesy. When you speak in tongues, there is a building up and a sensitivity to the Spirit of God that you are able to hear from the Lord. And he says, I want you edified, built up, listening to the Lord, sensitive, and you build yourself up in the Spirit as you prepare your heart, so then you can minister the word of the Lord that people can hear. Ephesians 5:17-18. Talk about this. We've talked about office gifts in the church setting, God to man. 1 Corinthians 14, personal prayer language, man to God. I would that you all spoke with tongues. God wants us all to receive this. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. He disagrees with the guy from Ecclesiastes a little bit. You know, the end goal of life is to drink wine, party, and have a fun time. Here he says, hey man, that's not the end goal of life. It's be filled with the Spirit. Isn't that a better way to go? Better way to go. Building up, but you, Jude 1, verse 20, but you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Okay. All right, guys. Let's see. Let me go up. On your fill-ins, you have a section here that I want to hit. Anyone may prophesy in the congregation. You see it there? Anyone may prophesy in the congregation, but not everyone is a prophet. Office gift. Anyone may speak in tongues, but not everyone has that as a primary gift in the corporate setting that must have interpretation. All right? Let's go to point number five. What are the benefits? What are the benefits? What are we talking about? Why is this even important? What is this more? What are we talking about here? And just give you a few quick ones. The Holy Spirit prays through you and your fill-in is for you. Simple word, for. The Holy Spirit prays through you and for you. Romans 8:26-27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, Himself, makes intercession for us with groanings which can't be uttered. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. How many know God knows you best and what you need most? So allowing Him to pray with you and through you gives room for the Holy Spirit to move. Listen, guys, I have heard testimony after testimony of people who did not know what they were praying. They had a burden on their heart. They didn't know what to pray, and they began to speak in other languages and other tongues that God gave them. And they found out later that right at that same time, a person that became a heart burden for them while they were praying, they saw that person in their mind. They began to pray and to speak in tongues. They found out later that the plane that person was on was getting ready to go down in a horrific thunderstorm. And all of a sudden, it was a feeling like miraculous arms came up underneath that plane and carried it to its definition or to its destination. Miracle after miracle after miracle. We were sitting next to, or somebody in our congregation was sitting next to a young gal who had been the daughter of an ambassador in Middle Eastern countries. And she'd traveled with her dad and she'd picked up bits and phrases of languages every, you know, all the time when she traveled. And she's sitting there. She's going, "I don't believe in this." She's sitting in the pew. The person who did not know her sitting next to her, they began to worship. And that person began to use their prayer language and worship of God. And that girl understood the language, and praise of God is what was being declared. She was changed when she saw what God did for her. The Holy Spirit prays through you, for you. The Spirit helps our weaknesses. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. The Spirit makes intercession with groanings which can't be uttered. Anybody in this room ever had a burden on your heart but you couldn't identify what it was all about? Sure. Maybe a burden for your spouse, or, you know, I'm sure Sherry has these feelings for me all the time. I'm a burden for Kevin. Sherry? Pastor Sherry?
400 miles away from my grandson, I had a burden for him. I prayed in the Spirit because I didn't have a clue how to pray. I prayed and I just begged God to protect him and take care of him. 10 minutes after that prayer, I couldn't wait any longer. I called my daughter and I said, "What's wrong with Christian? What's happened?" She says, "Mama, he just fell 2 stories out of a window and did not break his neck."
Oh, thank you.
Miracle of God. Amen. Amen. God is alive and well. He wants to speak to you and he wants to speak to me. He wants to do the more. Will we let him? The Holy Spirit helps us worship Father God. Watch, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. We are the circumcision, Philippians 3:3, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding. Let the Holy Spirit have his way in you. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. John 16:3. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And then the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. I think everyone else in this room knows what that sense is like. I knew I blew it. Forgive me, Jesus. Or what I'm thinking about, I'm checked on. I shouldn't do that. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. That is not condemnation. If you wake up in the morning and you're bludgeoned to death, feeling rotten, you're just a rotten person through and through, that's not of God. Kick that voice out in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to you very specifically. And he says, it's this. Now, you might not know exactly what it is, but you know the topic. Shouldn't have said that. Maybe that interaction with that person wasn't right. He will be specific with you. He's your teacher, convictor of sin. The Holy Spirit helps us. Your next word is in bold spiritual warfare. Bold spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6, 17 and 18. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. 16, 17 of Mark. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name they'll cast out demons, they'll speak with new tongues. And the Holy Spirit gives us power in evangelism. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. All right, how do you receive? We're coming to an end here. How do you receive? You begin with repenting and literally renouncing. Renouncing means I thrust it away from me. I'm done with it. I'm not touching it. Any occult activity. Church, we could talk for a mile today on setting up what people do in occult activity. You know, Ouija boards, horoscopes, that's, you know, some of the old stuff, some of the old role-playing games where people play out fantasies with witchcraft and warlocks. You don't walk into the pasture of the devil and say, I'm just fine. Stay away from it in Jesus' name. Yes, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But that doesn't mean you jump into the pasture of the devil. You don't go in and jump around and play with the cow pies and expect to come out clean. I thought that was pretty good. I thought, hey. That was, man, that was hot right off the press. I should have left it off the press, huh? But you don't want to go rolling around in the mud pile or in the mud puddle and say, oh, man, I'm just fresh. I smell like Febreze. Anyway, how do you receive? You get rid of that stuff. You thrust it away from you. I'm going to go through a couple of scriptures and take the moment to go through them. You need to see them. They are literally powerful because, listen, this is a big deal nowadays because in our world, we think it's no problem. Here we are in our area where New Age doesn't matter, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, Wicca and some of the other stuff, some of the root causes of some of the things that sound like rational, reasonable things that people get involved in. You look at the root of it and it's witchcraft at its very root. Got to repent from that. Jesus wants, and your note says it, to baptize a cleanly prepared vessel. Hungry people respond to Jesus. Watch the scripture. Many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds out in front of everybody. They just said them, man. They wanted to get rid of them. And also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. Book burning! They were just so hungry they didn't care what they did. They just wanted to get rid of it. They counted up the value of them and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. That's a big valuable collection here. I don't know. I really want to get rid of it. If it's keeping you from Jesus or hindering you and the Lord, get rid of it. What's it worth? It ain't worth the powder to blow it up. Don't let anything keep you from Jesus. So the word of the Lord grew and prevailed once they responded to Jesus. Watch this next scripture, you guys. Deuteronomy 18. I bet some of you didn't even know this part was in here, except those of you who read through the Bible every year, you've seen this, but this is powerful. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, be very careful not to imitate the detestable customs of the nations living there. What were they? For example, never sacrifice your son or daughter as a burnt offering. Oh, I wouldn't do that. Really? We might not lay them on a literal fire altar, but do we make our children pass through fire when we give ourselves to sinful activity and they're exposed to every wrongful demonic activity that we've opened into our home? So close up that door, get rid of it so our kids don't go through this. But watch, do not let your people practice fortune telling or use sorcery or interpret omens or engage in witchcraft or cast spells or function as mediums or psychics or call forth the spirits of the dead. Anyone who does these things is, say it with me, please, detestable to the Lord. I would not rather be on that ledger side. I'd rather be on the good side. Amen or oh no. It's because the other nations have done these detestable things. The Lord your God will drive them out ahead of you, but you must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you're about to displace consult sorcerers and fortune tellers, but the Lord your God forbids you to do such things. Okay? Down on your notes, be persistent. Be persistent. Keep asking. Not just once. People learn to walk by taking continued steps even after they stumble. You learn a language by using the syllables you gain over and over and over again. And pretty soon you put together sentence structure and things begin to flow. It doesn't always start like that. Most of the time, it doesn't. Watch the Amplified Bible because I'll bet some of you didn't know this was the context of this scripture. So I say to you, ask and keep on asking. We love to quote these verses, right? Seek and keep on seeking. It will be given to you. Seek and keep seeking. You'll find. Knock, keep on knocking. The door will be opened to you. For everyone who keeps on asking, and the Greek literally means this, persistently, to him who keeps on knocking persistently, the door will be opened. Well, sure, we know that. We pray that way. How many of you knew the context was regarding the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Would you? Of course not. Not if you cared for your kid. Or if he asks for an aid, we'll give him a scorpion. Would you do that? Come on, let's see the show of hands. How many would do that? No. If you then being evil, in other words, compared to God, know how to give good gifts to your children, please everyone, read with me. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask Him? Well, I got it all when I believed. You did receive the Holy Spirit when you believed. But there's more. There's more. How do we do this? Some receive it on their own. Go home. If you're embarrassed, the Lord might not let you get fully over that embarrassment till you humble yourself and say, hey, I want some help. But that's okay. We love everybody. Some may say, don't want any of it. Okay, if that's what you say to me, that's fine. But I want to urge you, you now go to Jesus. Because now you know what the Word of God says. You look it up. I put all the scriptures down there. You look it up. And just meet with Jesus and let Him minister to you. Some get it on their own. We're not here to push, cajole, do anything but love people. What this is all about this morning is giving an opportunity for something fresh. Most commonly, people receive the laying on of hands. Do you know we've baptized a lot of people and we've seen people who haven't received this experience come right out of the waters speaking in tongues because hands are laid upon them as they go under. We don't just say go swimming and call it baptism. Hands are laid on, they come out, and we've seen it over and over again. The most common way is through the laying on of hands. And then begin to praise God out loud. What? Begin to praise God out loud. Now listen, you guys, you have to do what only you can do. Then God does what He can do. You're not going to be able to drop your jaw and a language jumps out. I want to sound like Tom Selleck. Not going to happen like that. He's going to use your tongue, your vocal cords. You have to begin to give it some voice, begin to form some syllables after you've prayed. The devil is not going to jump in and twist you up with confusion. Let me just tell you, you do what you can do. God does what He can do. Pat Boone, singer, you all know him, was kicked out of the Church of Christ when he received this experience. But he began to lift up his voice and God met him. And he had been concerned about this and even thought it was of the devil for generations and generations. He wrote a book a long time ago called A New Song. There are multitudes of testimonies of people that have been met as they've said, okay, I'm going to say no to the doubt and just jump in, take courage and jump into the river. You're not going to learn how to swim by hanging on to the shore. Jump in. And people are here to help you. Step out in faith and courage and joy. Enjoy. That's what it's all about. Enjoy a fresh move of God. Cooperate with Him. Don't miss your opportunity for a fresh move of God. And we're here to pray with you. We're sailing on and launching your faith. He wants you to have more. Enjoy the Lord and sail on with Him. Amen? Amen. Now what we're going to do, Pastor Sherry, come on up. But what we're going to do, I know it's late. You got to remember, it took us a long time to get started this morning. What we're going to do is we're going to have an opportunity for people who want to receive prayer. I'm going to have Bob and Barbara come and Joseph come and Bill, if you want to come, Jeannie, and whoever is freely released in this gift, if you want to come on up and pray. If you need a fresh release in the baptism in the Spirit or the resulting gift of speaking in tongues, come on up and we'll have people right here to pray. So we love you and we are here to help and God wants you to be blessed. Best you, Sherry.
We're going to be handing out three pieces of paper. One is the name used in water baptism. This gives you the scriptural references, and it goes along with last week's lesson. We're going to be handing out your faith activators, which we'd like you to go ahead and fill out, and then please turn these back into either myself or Pat or Vern Perryman, any one of the three of us. Okay, and the next one is, we have a pamphlet on speaking in tongues. It's 9 pages long, one per couple. I have your names on the top right-hand corner. They're on a table right outside the front door. Please pick up your copy. For those of you who are guests, I have another pile and it says guest copies here. Just help yourself. But one per couple to those who are in the class, and as I say, your names are on the top of them. So please, please pick up the materials right outside the first door.
Now, we're going to have water baptism. We have a bunch of people that want to get water baptized. So coming up on Saturday, June 3, Saturday, June 3, 3 p.m. at our home, 240 Maple Lane, we're going to have water baptism. We're going to baptize you not in the Puget Sound, but in our hot tub. I know you got to suffer for the Lord. Okay, I thought I might get some response there. But the next night, or the next time we're going to do this is the coming Wednesday, right afterwards on the 7th. Because some people, if you can't be there on Saturday the 3rd, we'll have opportunity on Wednesday the 7th at our grace gathering time at 6:30. We'll meet together. So Sunday morning the 3rd, or Saturday morning, or the afternoon the 3rd, I'll get out. Saturday the 3rd, and at 3 p.m., and Wednesday the 7th at 6:30. And Pastor Sherry
and
has a sign-up sheet for you.
On the table, one for the Saturday baptism and one for the Wednesday night. Please, please sign on there which one you will be attending. And then I will be getting to you a page of instructions for the baptism. What to bring, what to wear, blah, 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 that kind of thing.
All right. Would you stand with me, please? What we want to do is respond to the Lord and then have opportunity for you to respond. If you would like a free release in this, possibly you've never had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've had other teaching, but the Lord is speaking to you. We will have people up here to pray for you. Team, why don't you come on up and pray. And Chris, you want to join us? That's fine, too. Come on up and pray. And if you would like this free release in your life, come on up. And there'll be others to lift you up. And if you've received this, maybe only in a beginning sense, but you'd like a freer release, come on up for prayer, and we'll be here to pray for you. And Elaine, would you come over to the piano? Just play just a little bit. So while we're praying, there's some gentle music in the background. Thank you so much. Would you join with me in prayer? And I don't want anybody to stumble if you're walking around, but join with me. Lord Jesus, we come to you now. We repent of any sin that hinders my walk with you. I repent and renounce any occult activity. Now, silently, right where you are right now, just name it off. Whatever it might be, if it's horoscope reading, if it's tarot cards, if it's whatever you've had in your past, if it was something you did 20 years ago but you never confessed, just do it right now. We'll give you opportunity to pray and ask the Lord to forgive you for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And now, Lord, right now by faith, we receive forgiveness. Go ahead, right now by faith. I receive forgiveness. I know that you've forgiven me. And now here I am, Lord, a candidate for your fresh move. Move in the Holy Spirit in my life. Baptize me afresh in your Spirit. Grant me a devotional prayer language or a free release, so that I might communicate with you in a better way. Thank you, Lord, for the more. And we give you praise now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And those of you who are here as a guest and you may be departing now, others of you are welcome to stay. We will take the time and pray that God meets you in powerful ways today. But if you are departing, I thank you for coming and know that the Lord loves you. We love you. We'll be right here next Sunday morning. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace. In Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Amen. Have a fantastic day in the Lord. Team, come on up. We're right here. Come on up. Make your need known and we'll be honored to pray for you. God bless you all.